God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. Don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic and waves still pound upon the sand and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Less Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Less Visible.
Adoo! And welcome to another transmission from the Saucer Pod, which is starting to look more and more like the real article. The dog poet is hovering in channel space this evening, and if you go over to Visible Origami and look in the comments section of the latest posting on Satya Sai Baba, you'll see a link for the dimensional shift channeling by someone named Dorothy in Hungary. Feel like I'm putting out something on the request line. I don't quite know what to make of this, but none of it conflicts with what I'm already personally involved in. Some of it sounds a lot more fantastic than what I might want to specify as coming, but I might be out of the loop on that. I'd certainly welcome it, and something like it is coming. Read it yourself and see if it doesn't sound often like what you hear here or read there, there being the blogs. I mention this with no intent to corroborate my work or the other work either. It's simply that such intense dovetailing and correspondence can tend to corroborate a third thing that may exist in other minds or be the general reality of which all else is merely partial and contributive. Any way you slice it, it's a bit of a read, and I was glad to encounter it. I seldom have any use for so-called channeled information because it either feels bogus or it's so lame and redundant and lacking in anything substantive that I just turn away. I have a problem with things that hit me as regurgitated texts done by amateurs, which were much better in the original, and those, that's often dated and archaic. I've got a problem with people who speak in the phonied-up voice of some illuminated master and don't tell you anything new. It's like sitting in a dimly lit garage with some young lady who read the Cliff Notes of divination and getting increasingly anxious once you realize maybe you should have just required of your intuition. This is not to say that there are not people who can do this well. I've met a couple who had the gift, but they are few and far between, and it's usually the gaps you don't get informed of that turn out to have been of the greater value overall. What I want to say is that after I read the PDF file, I was left with a sense of rightness. I don't want to steer the listener wrong, so you should tell me what you think. Some of what is said is off the charts fantastic, but as I've been saying, it all works out, and a golden age of some order is coming, and coming soon. And here they lay it all out, but it's still fantastic and credulity-straining, yet, if only. That's all I could think, and the strangest thing is my invisible friends have been telling me very similar things, as has my intuition, and they're not the same. One is multiple, and the other is single. It makes sense. It really does, and the lengthy discussion of resonances and frequencies and the like made some bells ring for me. Yes, it's tied up with Jesus Christ, and I'm not a Christian in the way that is commonly understood, but I suspect I am a Christian in the only way that counts, as far as I'm concerned, and that's to love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind, and follow those rules that all the holy books agree on. I understand the phrase, I am the light, the truth, and the way, and no man cometh unto the Father save by me. I understand it on my own terms and in my own terms, and not in the exclusionary way it is generally used to cite everyone outside the narrow confines of dogma as a heretic. I'm well-read when it comes to the Bible. I read it a lot when I was younger, but I think my relationship to it comes from other lives as well. That's why I also pay close attention to Scripture that seldom gets the proper translations, because it cuts out the heretic angle and the whole eternal burning in the flames of hell thing. Phrases like, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would not have told you so. And my favorite, even the devil is transformed into an angel of light at the given moment. Be not deceived. There are a lot of other comments from the New Testament. I don't have much use for the Old Testament because I'm not much into burnt offerings, and I'm certainly not into wiping out of entire people every time the satanic overlord some people worships decides to do so. I'm not into dozens of children being ripped to pieces because they didn't have a clue what was going on, and I'm not into it mostly because I know it's a book of gematria, and it's got nothing to do with what it says, but only what it means in terms of the juxtaposition of letters and numbers, which anyone who took the trouble to study it would know. But people are more content with literal meanings, and the literal meanings are absurd, which is how the priest class got their tremendous latitude with the truth and your pocketbook. It's also how the chosen people crap got started. The only chosen people are the ones who chose God over everything else. That's the long and the short of it, and I'm willing to risk any form of fallout from having said so, because it's the truth. Occult history tells the real tale of what happened, when it happened, and that area gets closed off because it's associated with the devil, when all it means is hidden. It's religion that is the devil, and that shames the founders and gives blood offerings to the parishioners by pushing for holy war at the behest of bankers. Religion is just another brokerage house, and the more funerals and pomp and circumstance, the more money there is. And the more money there is, the more theft there is, and the more of all the other criminal enterprises that bespoke mortality, well, actually bespoke morality, speaks against. But really, they are just hedge fund operatives. Think about it. The contemporary religious leaders are hedge fund bankers, and I don't think I need to explain that unless you don't know what hedge fund action is. The whole of the planet is turned into a giant scam under false pretenses. If you can't see it, you're with the people standing under that big suckers line up here sign. I realized long ago that you can't be honest and expect to prosper anymore, not in this world. It might have been true a few decades ago, and that was a temporary feature of a vanishing culture. Hi, old silver, and away we go. Crash. It was probably around the same time that I realized all the profit was to be had in working for nothing. So that's pretty much what I did. And it's paid off handsomely, not so much in coin of the realm, but in a freedom from it. There are mysterious wells of sustenance hidden in nature and hidden in with yourself as well. It's true if you go looking, you're going to get the usual Fata Morgana and vanishing oases, because that's what gets thrown in front of you when you proceed to look. These blessings are not for the undeserving. Suffering and want are what make you deserving, depending on what you're after to begin with. Many people think that those who have it all are somehow blessed. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's also a lie to assume you have to be poor, only in spirit. Being rich is a state of mind, and unless you have that, you're never rich enough and never comfortable enough to really enjoy it without thinking someone's out to take it away from you. And it screws up all your relationships and the inside of your head as well. It makes you an unpleasant person to be around, even for yourself. In many cases, they don't even notice because the con is a full-time focus. And it's always turned on in a kind of bluff and hearty, hail fellow, well-met sort of a way of mutual back-scratching that's on a direct header for betrayal and recrimination. I don't know how true all those things in the PDF file are, but a lot of them ring true, so how am I to take the ending, which can logically follow, but which seems off the charts fantastic? I'd like to believe it. I definitely believe something like it, and either way is fine with me. It makes sense, as does what I've experienced these last several years. I don't think about World War III or radioactive fallout. I wonder what the divine intends, because that's all that matters. Physical conditions are always subject to change, and they're all under the control of the One. Just because the oceans are not suddenly healed and all of the radioactivity not gone does not mean it couldn't happen in a heartbeat. And if you don't believe that, you're stuck in your world of doubt with all the attendant fallout, pun intended. If doubt is your companion, then your world is colored by his brush. I'm luckier than some, I guess. I've seen the reality of faith and the profit from walking a certain road. I was luckier still that every effort I gave my attention to in the world was a failure. And it wasn't an accident that it happened that way, and that was also a blessing, though most people would hardly imagine that it could be so. You have to be ready, willing, and desirous of leaving this world in any moment. You have to exist in the thrill that nothing in this world can compare with what you find upon leaving it. You have to already live in the place you're bound so far as you are able. Heaven is within you, provided you reside there. If you're living somewhere else, you must want to be there because you don't have to. If you're living somewhere else, it's because you're worried about conditions there. You're caught up in the drama of it. You might tell yourself this is not so. But if it were not so, you would be in heaven, because heaven is free of such concerns. Excuse me. That's the difference between this world and the heavenly realm. This world is filled with a litany of ever-repeating fears and appetites, losses and temporary dreams of gain that can never be filled because there's no bottom in the pail. In the heavenly realm, none of these things have any meaning. Everything works out the way it should, and there's no concern about loss or gain. Both imposters are treated the same. I think Kipling said something to that effect somewhere. We know that heaven is real. We know this world appears to be real. And we know what kind of suffering and freedom from it are possible here. Why don't we have the best of everything? Maybe because we don't know what has true value. As much as we want to surrender to a higher life, we feel we've got to be responsible here. Well, as long as that's your job, I guess you'll have to do it, won't you? As long as you think you're responsible, you're going to be made responsible. As long as you think you're in charge, you're going to be allowed to feel like you're in charge. You know, as long as you have it under your aegis to take care of all these different things and all these different people and only you can do it, well, you're going to be allowed to do it as well as you can. And you're going to have things thrown at you and thrown at you until they show you that you can't be in charge of it all and have it work out, you know, perfectly, because it doesn't. Myself, I'm only responsible for showing up and being wherever I am and doing what gets put in front of me without expecting anything. I don't handle that other end of it. What you think you're handling, what you think is in your purview, well, there you are. That's what you're doing. It's what you believe is happening. That's what's happening to you. Now you may say, oh, I don't believe this. I don't believe I want this to be happening. Well, yeah, you do. Even if it's negative belief or however you've arranged it. It's all really the result of you. I hope you get something from the PDF file. You don't have to buy into the whole ending scenario, but you might want to buy into the rest of it because it sounds real to me. I have no capacity to believe anything else. To me, it's all resonance, vibration, and frequencies. And it has been for some time. And all of these play off against each other in a vast symphonic interplay that makes the music of the spheres, if you can hear it. Like I can hear the opera playing right now downstairs on the television, and I'm awfully grateful I'm not down there listening to it. I mean, I love Pavarotti and Mario Lanza and certain tenors, but I don't really care for opera at all. I just like selections from it. And I guess I could say the same thing about life, couldn't I? Anyway, that symphonic interplay that makes the music of the spheres, if you can hear it, if you can hear it, because otherwise then it's cacophony, the music of the world. And we know about the music of the world, don't we? Because a lot of us are dancing to it, and we're doing it unwillingly. We know we're dancing to it. We don't want to be dancing to it, but we are dancing to it, and we don't know how to stop. So they think we'll just be cool while we're dancing to it, or we'll be unobtrusive. Yeah, good luck. The only thing important that could be seeing you in the first place isn't missing a single thing you're doing. You know, I used to have this unusual experience that would happen every so often in New York City. I'd be walking along, and suddenly the sound of the car horns and all the other noises, all the noises of the street, the people talking, the wind moving through the corridors of the buildings, and it would come from far off. It would come down the avenue or down the street toward me from far off, and all the noises would come together in music. It was the most astonishing thing. The first time it happened to me, I couldn't believe it. Then it happened again and again. And I was hearing it. It all came together in this surge and this cohesive unity of sound all meshed together. And it was unlike anything that you ordinarily hear. You just don't hear this. But I did, and I don't think I'm the only one that's heard it. This core harmony exists everywhere, in the cities, in the countryside, in one form or another. You have to tune your ears to hear it. And with that comes angelic contact. And with that comes the most valuable and rare counsel and advice to be had on earth. The most penetratingly real, the most unshakably true advice and assistance, counsel that you can get, comes through your angelic contacts, provided you have any, and you have them if you've gone out of your way to hunt them down. That's to put it, in a colloquial sort of way. Get that, and you've got all you could ever need in this world or the next. Well, once again, we've come to the end of another broadcast, and I find myself saying the same things I always say here. I'll see you again next week, if there is one. And I wish you the best of everything you can discover, if you'll be motivated to seek it. In the meantime, and the in-between time, let's just leave you with aloha and adieu.
You can see him in the morning when the sun is.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.